You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the Game, yeah, Building the Game.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, May 2nd, 2016. I thought that little cadence there might be fun. You're listening to episode 205.
It was fun till you said that.
Well,
it might be fun.
Call-outs are kind of the thing.
You ruined everything.
My name's
Rob.
Jason. You're Rob. Wait, other way around. My name's Rob. Your name's Jason. We're hanging out once again.
I want to be clear. You know what?
Uh-huh.
When you do these things, Rob, you know what it makes me want to do?
Party?
It makes me so mad. You know what I want to do?
You just want to break it down and dance.
You know what I want? It makes me want to flip the table.
Oh. Hey, what a coincidence.
See what I did there?
What a coincidence.
See, that is how you do a transition, Rob.
That's good, because we have a special guest.
He's already laughing.
Astute builders may have noticed a little laughter there. We have a gentleman on the show with us tonight. I would say he's probably one of the great Renaissance men of the modern age. An artist, a man not afraid to really go for it in life. A man that I respect a great deal. A man's man in every way. We have on the line with us Mr. the one and only Flip Flory of Flip the Table. Hello, Flip. Welcome to BTG.
Wow. Holy cow. What an intro.
I mean,
I never realized I was so cool.
You are the coolest. You are the coolest. We are honored to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me, guys. I mean, I've been listening to you guys from pretty much the start, and, you know, I've always enjoyed what you guys do, and I realize when we're at Flip the Table, we're just, you know, four idiots babbling into a microphone, but, you know, you guys...
We're twice as many idiots as we have here.
Yeah. We've got double the idiots, yes.
Yeah, flip the table.
You guys do some really cool stuff, so, I've enjoyed following along, and,
Well,
I'm
thank
glad
you.
To be here.
You actually texted me, gosh, about a month ago, I think, and said, hey, are you at all interested in having a guy who has ideas but has never really pursued them on your show? And I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. Let's
sounds
do
like
that.
Us till we did a podcast.
Yeah, let's do that.
I think a lot of people are pretty much in the same boat as me. I mean, every avid reader has a great novel in them. I think there's a ton of gamers out there that have a great game in them, but they never act upon it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know what? Another thing you said to me today is that you wanted to shake things up. You wanted to just wreck everything that we do here, change it around. Jason doesn't even know what's coming.
Oh gosh. I don't.
Flip wants to pitch first.
Yeah, I'm raring to go. I am hot. I'm ready to fire right now.
So
yeah.
It's almost like you want to flip the show on its head.
Okay, you need to stop that, okay?
No, seriously, your show, man. We will do it in whatever order you want.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had this idea, and I've been really anxious to talk about it.
Yeah, from the little bit you told me earlier, it sounds like it's an important thing. I think it could be a truly important game. You know, it's really about something.
So do you mind if we just jump right into the pitch here?
Yeah, do it, man.
Do it. Up.
Okay. So, I mean, I think a lot of games are based on, like, real-life experiences, you know? I mean, you get a lot of inspiration from pretty much, you know, anything. And I had an experience last year that really inspired me to create a game, and I'm calling it Traitorous Traitors of Traitor That Are Scum of the Scum of Space. And it has to do with a traitor on a spaceship that's trying to avoid intergalactic war. And he's like such a traitor that he's a scumbag, and he tries to escape the ship instead of helping out his crewmates to stop the Klingons from starting a battle with Starfleet. Okay?
Wow, this guy sounds terrible, this guy.
I think I'm going to root for this guy.
You would.
Yeah, so it's all about backstabbing. It's all about lying. It's all about being a cheater.
It's all about self-preservation.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm getting a little nauseous talking about it, but I think it's a game that needs to be made. What do you think, Jason?
I think that guy's the hero. I think that it sounds like Intergalactic War, and he was like, I mean, maybe he had a family to get back to. Maybe he had some good reasons to get out of there.
Maybe he's truly without honor in his life.
Maybe the captain of that ship was kind of a tool, and he got tired of listening to that captain being a tool, and so he left. And also, maybe his crewmates on the ship, there was a girl, she was kind of nice, but there was another dude, and he was kind of a D-bag.
I see. So you're blaming it on the rest of the crew.
And then maybe there was this godlike being that was running the whole show, and he came from a very far away place just to be terrible to everyone. And this was this guy's best chance. And maybe he just didn't like the beach.
So I think we should let the listeners know about my inspiration here.
Uh-huh.
Last year, I had the chance to go to Gen Con, and I ran the Klingon VHS Challenge. In that game, and this is game's probably like 25 years old now, something like that. So I'm not spoiling anything here, but there's an opportunity for one person on the ship to be a scummy, spineless, backstabbing traitor and escape the ship in a shuttle pod. And basically trade in all of their honor, and if the rest of the team loses, they win, and vice versa. So, Rob and Jason were both on. You guys were on a ship together, right?
They were.
Rob's wife was there too, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
she was the nice girl I talked about.
Yeah, and Jason took the opportunity to basically get in a shuttlecraft and take off. And,
listen, he won't admit it, but I bet in the same situation, Rob would have made the same choice.
Absolutely not.
You know what else, too? You know who else ran away from a fight but you think is awesome? Han Solo. That's who jerk faces.
But he came back and saved the day.
I would have, but that was not in the rules. I would have loved to come back in my shuttle and blow up the Klingon ship.
The only thing we have to judge you by is your actual actions.
Well, no, because you all died. So, and you know who writes history? The one who didn't die. So I shot myself in the arm with a blaster. And then said that I went out fighting.
Coach, I'm hurt, Coach. I got to go.
Put me in, Coach. Anyway, Put me in the shuttle so I can get out of here.
But, yeah, Jared from our show, he did that. He did the same thing on when we first time we ran through that game.
Following the footsteps of great men.
Yeah. So you guys can make a club, like a traitor's club.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah, you let him know. He's going to owe me membership dues, though, so he's going to need to send those to me. Care of Building the Game Podcast?
Well, that wasn't my real pitch. I'm just kidding about that. Okay. Anyway.
That was good, though. You know. So here's the thing. At first, I was like, that is weird. Like, that's a really goofy name. He's being silly. And then you kept talking, and I was like, wait a minute. Why does this sound familiar? And then about 10 seconds before you said Klingon, I caught on and was like, and then you said Klingon, I was like, yeah, he's talking about me.
Yeah.
So, did you know he was going to do that, Rob?
I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you?
I did.
Nice.
That was good. Traitor, scum of space. It's kind of a long title. I don't think you can fit it on the box.
I thought it was, when you first started, I was thinking, because I thought you were saying it was a traitorous trader. So I was like thinking it was going to be like a big pun, and then I realized, you're just making fun of me.
Yeah.
So some guy that's like trying to trade like bear pelts when they're actually like dogs or dog pelts or something.
That's too bad for dogs.
Well, anyway, I did have an idea for a pitch. I pretty much came up with this today on my drive to work.
Hey, actually, sounds like us. You're in good company,
right?
I don't know what I would call this. I haven't come up with a name for it, but my inspiration is the final scene in Star Wars, A New Hope, where they're the trench run, when all the X-Wings are flying down the trench towards the final battle,
yeah,
or towards the exhaust port. I was thinking about doing a game like that, where like you could have a deck of cards, which is the, or even a player that plays like the Imperials, like all the gun turrets and all the things, and basically they're just playing attacks.
Okay.
And you are playing the Rebels, the, like you you're playing like sort of like maneuvers to avoid these attacks. So you're trying to get to a certain goal, I guess, maybe the end of their deck, but without dying. But basically you're trying to, I don't know, I was thinking maybe you could have like four or five different X-Wings or space fighters or whatever. And I don't know, I was kind of thinking that the back and forth is basically kind of like maneuver cards, as far as like, you know, I'm going to go to an altitude of five. And then they could play cards that they're firing at a certain level, and you both reveal at the same time. And if you're matching the altitude and the, you know, as far as their, your shot going off, you hit. Or you, if you're, the altitude's, you know, the number is a different number, you would miss. And it's just kind of like, I'm trying to think of a simple game that's kind of like a back and forth of like firing and maneuvering, but like card based. And I'm don't, I feel like I'm not explaining this well. It made sense in my head.
What if it was some sort of trick taking style game where the trick was determined by the, so it's a co-op game, say. I mean, maybe it's a co-op game, but it's a competitive, right? Like, you're working together, but you want to be the dude who took the shot that blew up the Death Star, right? Because, I mean, how many girls would you get after that, right? I blew up the Death Star, okay? I killed, like, a billion people. So, what if it's a trick-taking game, but the trick comes from the Empire deck, right? So, those are the turrets and stuff.
Yeah.
So, the idea is that you're all playing cards to, you have to blow the turret up, right? Otherwise, you take damage. So you guys are trying to blow the turret up, and you've got to follow suit. But the person who does the most damage takes the trick. Wait, so basically, the person with the highest trick, highest card, takes the trick, just like a normal trick-taking game. And then, so you just, that leader of the trick is always
in that case,
the Empire.
I don't think it's the player who has the highest number. I think it's the player who has the number closest to the number from the,
because
that's the target,
there's
right?
There's your target.
That's
Yeah, like the deck's throwing challenges at you, and you're trying to match and meet those challenges, and those basically are like sets or that you can make. And you could do like some sort of like combos or something like that, like to make it interesting, you know, or to avoid damage or something like that.
Yes.
That was my basic inspiration. I wanted it to be something that was a simple back and forth, and it's something that's recognizable, like the trench run from Star Wars.
Yep.
It's like, you know, I know, like in Maine here, when I'm driving on the interstate and I've got these huge snowbanks in the middle of winter that are all gray and dirty, I'm always thinking of the trench run when I'm like on the interstate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so,
nice.
And it's like, I mean, everybody relates to it. And,
right.
I think it would be kind of cool to do that.
That would be cool too if, like, if you had to play off, you know, like you would in a normal trick taking game, that could be like one of those different offsuits. Like, each suit could do something if it was played as an offsuit, and one of them could just be shields. So you're like, screw you guys, I can't shoot anything, but I'll not take damage this turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So,
and then you could have, like, you know, like the Millennium Falcon swooping in at the last minute. You could have like a one shot type thing that to avoid an attack entirely or something like that.
That'd be, so, there could be a Millennium Falcon card, you know.
Yeah.
It might be cool too if everybody had their own deck. So everybody had the exact same deck, right? So everybody has a Millennium Falcon. That's kind of the Bazinga card, right? Like, you want to play that, but you also don't want to play it at the same time because it's like an auto win. So playing it at the same time could have negative effects.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't talk about playing it because you want to win.
So here, what I'm getting here is, so I think on every round, the call it the turret deck, the enemy deck.
Yep.
I think you put out a number of cards face up equal to the number of players plus one, and each of those cards is going to be kind of a different. a different target zone. You know, column one through five, or maybe it's 1 through 10 or something. And then players need to play from their hand cards, a card that does not match anything out there. Because that means they're dodging the barrage of attacks. And
okay.
It could be, you know, and it might just be level or zone one, zone two, or elevation one, elevation two. But other turns, you know, the different suits are, some are elevation or position vertically, and others, another suit is positioned horizontally. There could be different attack types. So one is laser blast, one is a torpedo blast, you mm-hmm. know. So
a super laser,
yeah.
One could be shields,
turbo laser.
Right?
It's turbo lasers they have. Actually.
Yeah, yeah. So
ooh, one could be shields and one could be R2-D2 for your droid.
Sure, but so what I'm saying is that the turret, you don't know what kind of attack a turret is going to send out there, and after you play a card down on one turn early to avoid a specific type of attack, you might not have a lot of you know, and every card could have four different suits on it, you know, four different pieces of information on it, and so once you play a card and it's taken by whoever wins the trick, that card's gone. You don't have that anymore. So it might make it harder for you to dodge attacks as the turret deck as you get deeper into the turret deck.
That's a good point.
You know, and that kind of emulates your pilot's fatigue or increasing damage to your spaceship. And so you want to be, and at some point, if you lose enough tricks your ship's going to become too damaged and you're out of the game, you know? And I think balance wise, you probably want this to be 6 or 8 tricks total, or 6 or 8 rounds yep. total in the game. So yep. you want to make it to the end, and then, and if you make it to the end, then you succeed, but then there's gotta be some last final thing where you actually shoot the torpedo down the exhaust port.
Well, yeah, like the last target.
The last hand, you're turning off your scanner, so you're going to have to use the force, and you just play cards blindly.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, play cards blindly.
Well, blindly, you don't believe in hokey religions and ancient weapons.
But no, that's, yeah, I mean, you guys are summing up my thoughts, basically what I was thinking. I mean, it's that's the feel that I would go for, I think, as far as like trick taking, and I think that would be cool,
yeah.
Especially if you slap like the Star Wars theme on it. Mm-hmm. I think it could be. I think it would sell copies.
Yeah. Of course, we couldn't slap the Star Wars theme on it. We'd have to retheme it as something. But
I feel like there's another one out. Probably one or two elements that are missing that you could add, but
yeah, for sure.
But just the general concept of the trick-taking game, because I was thinking originally of having somebody playing like as the Empire, and they're just playing, they're laying out cards and trying to do things to screw with you, but I kind of think it would work better if it was just a mindless deck that you just shuffle up and set there, or even better if they had like an electronic squawk box from like, you know, Mall Madness or something that just blurts out like, you know, the force is strong in this one, I am playing a 3 or something like that, you know. I don't know,
I mean, so that would be cool. Yeah,
I make something that's like Porkins.
I wish that I just had that squawk box on my desk at home and I would just occasionally hit the button and see what it says.
Seriously, if they released a game these days with like an electronic squawk box in like a Euro or something like that,
yeah.
I would pretty much buy that thing sight unseen. I mean, I just, you know, just the idea of it is really cool to me.
Would be awesome.
Absolutely.
I tried looking up a while ago online, like if there was any way to get one of those and like program it yourself.
That'd be cool.
It's like ancient technology now. Like there's pretty much, there's some dude in a garage in Ohio that probably knows how to do it now. But you know,
well, there is a Reiner Knizia game that has
really?
A squawk box. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's What's a Who's It or something like that, or
What's really? A Who's It?
What's a Who's It? It's a What's a Who's It or something like that.
Hmm. I don't know.
What's it? Was it? What's it, is it? While we're talking, I will look it up.
Okay.
It's like a Clue style game.
Oh really? Hmm.
I remember when the prequels came out, I had a C-3PO pen with 6 different buttons on it, and you would touch the button, and it would play a really terrible audio of a quote from C-3PO, and it was terrible. It was terrible. But I remember thinking the same thing, that boy, I'd like to reprogram this thing to just say obnoxious things.
Of course, in this day and age, you can pretty much program an app.
Well, right, yeah.
To do all that, but just having a clunky piece of plastic sitting on the board is just...
It's a lot funnier.
About it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot cooler, but... So anyway, going back to what I was talking about earlier when I have been listening to you guys all this time.
Sure.
I remember listening to this show back when you guys first started, before we hadn't done anything yet. You know, you're just basically, this is a documentary podcast. We're going to document, you know, all our trials and tribulations. And I remember listening to the show and thinking, what if these guys don't do anything? Like, what if they just like end up being like massive failures, and they're just like every week you tune in and they're just like complaining and moaning and groaning and just like, you know, it, like, I mean, I wonder how dark this podcast could have gotten, you know.
I mean, yeah, that absolutely could have happened.
To be fair, yeah. It has had its moments.
We've had our ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, you totally have. But you guys, you know, you work through it creatively, and you know, it's been a cool journey, you know, listening to you guys as far as like how it's all worked out.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah,
thank you.
We've enjoyed it.
Indeed, we have. Hey, it's called Who Was It? It was the winner of the Kinderspiel de Jar.
Yeah, is it all in German? I wonder if it's all in German.
No, because it's Where's Wars? Who Was It? So. Like, there is two versions of it. So, Reiner Knizia, Who Was It?
Hmm.
Check it out. It has an electronic squawk box thing in it.
It might be an import only, though, in English.
Have to check it out.
Amazon Prime, Who Was It? All one word, Who Was It? With a question mark at the end. Award-winning electronic board game, $30, free Prime shipping.
Okay, what award winning? I want to know what awards it won.
No, it won the curious. It won the Kinderspiel de Jar.
What? Really?
Yes. Which is, yeah. So, you know, it's legit.
Okay.
So if you...
Well, I didn't know if it was like Dr. Fun or something like
no,
that.
No, it won the Kinderspiel. So that's a big deal. So yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I would say you are safe to buy that game if you want an electronic squawk box and a good game that was made, not a Euro, but a game that was certainly designed in Europe.
Sweet.
Yeah? See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
No, I like Reiner Knizia. He's like one of my favorites for a long time. I don't know if you know this, but I have a collection of dice that have been rubbed on the heads of high geek lords.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I got one from Dr. Reiner Knizia, and he was the most accommodating guy that I've gotten one from.
Where did you see him at?
I didn't. I mailed. I found his email, and I emailed him, and I kind of corresponded with his assistant. And I said, you know, should I mail you the dice or whatever? He's like, no, we'll figure it out. So he actually went to a store, bought a die, and then he had his assistant make up like this certificate saying,
oh my gosh.
He's like, we rubbed this on my head in front of witnesses, and we're sending it off to you. And, you know, he signed the certificate and everything. It was ridiculous.
Flip, you're the coolest person I've ever known.
Yeah, that is the, like... You know, like, I sometimes think it's cool that when somebody sends a picture to a celebrity, they, like, autograph and send it back. But you emailed one of the Titans designers of the game, one of the most famous designers ever, and you said, excuse me, sir, could you rub a dice on your head and send it to me? And not only did he say yes, when most people would have said no, he freaking went and bought a die and then made a certificate and signed it.
He probably sent somebody to buy a die.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's insane.
No, I just got Colin Baker, the Sixth Doctor, this week, actually. He came to our town for a comic book convention, and I went down there and asked him to rub a die on his head. And he's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, just rub a die on your head and imbue it with the powers that no other person can. I'm like, you know, and he's like, okay. And he did it for me. So
that is the weirdest yet coolest thing I've ever heard.
I originally got the idea from Knights of the Dinner Table, which is a fantastic gamer comic book. And they had a whole storyline where a die got rubbed on Gary Jackson's head and became cursed and it went crazy. So the famed die rub was kind of born from that comic book, and I just kind of carried it on. So, you know,
so
I thought it was cool.
Any other cool famous people you've gotten with that?
I've got Weird Al Yankovic, the Double Clicks, Steve Jackson, let me think. John Kovalik. I can't think who else.
Well, I'll see if we can try and get Cathala at Gen Con this year.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish we'd have known. We totally could have got him last year. We asked him to do a lot of weird stuff. He'd have been fine with that. So.
Oh, I have Jason Tagmar, and I had him rub a die for me, actually, when he came up for the first time he visited. After he made Pixel Link, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Does that just imbue with the power to say Mario wrong?
Yes.
I believe, say Mario for me.
Mario?
Yes. I believe you say it wrong, too. I mean, sorry, different.
I do, Mario. It's Mario Brothers.
I was just with him this weekend at Umpub, and he was playing my game Minecart Madness, which is basically Mario Kart as a board game, and he said Mario like 100 times in a row. So it always cracks me up. Because it's not being pronounced wrong, it's just the accent, but it just cracks me up. Because it's the only time I ever notice his accent is when he says Mario.
I've sent a bunch of emails out to people, and I even went to Gen Con. I have these little contracts that I make that say, you know, I blank have rubbed this dye on my head, and if I have not, and I'm lying about this, may all my dye rolls fail for the rest of my life, or something like that.
I feel like for sure, if you could run into Will Wheaton at Gen Con, he would be totally into that.
Dude, I think I sent him an email, but actually Neil Gaiman, the guy who did Sandman.
Yeah.
I didn't get him yet. I was talking to his assistant and stuff, and they were like, you know, like, what do you want him to do exactly? And they were kind of a little bit confused. They thought I wanted him to write a poem for me or something. I don't know what it was. But anyway. But yeah, so, you know, like, and the whole idea of that project is that dice are mystical little baubles. I mean, they hold energy, they hold power. Everybody has their favorite dice. Everybody has dice that they hate. Mm-hmm. Everybody has dice that they've punished for misbehaving. So if you rub these things on the head of high geek lords, they just gather energy.
And, nice.
You know, you can eventually build a vault that has all this geek energy that just which is awesome. So.
Yes,
with lots of little tiny pedestals to put them on.
Yeah.
So do you specifically pick out dice for different things?
Colin Baker from Doctor Who, I had him rub a D12 because of the 12 doctors.
Sure.
Yes.
And Tagmire, I had him do a football die because him and Marty Cobb are both big Blood Bowl fans. And we just kind of had that connection. But usually I try to go with just D20s because D20s is all like the basically a poster boy for nerd dice. You know what I mean?
Do you use these dice afterwards?
No. Once they're rubbed, they go into a little display case that I have. So, yeah, I try not to handle them as much as possible.
You don't want that energy to go away.
That is the best weird obsession I've ever heard before, ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also was born in the fact that I was working on a business plan to open up a game store, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to have a display of that there, you know, just for geeks to come in and look at. But,
yeah,
alas, I didn't open a game store. I kind of wised up and went on with my normal life.
Right on. Well, so we got distracted here, though. You also you had a specific topic that you wanted to talk about for the feature of the week today.
Yeah. The topic I was thinking about talking about was the fact that every gamer has a great game inside of them. Every gamer thinks about, like, you know, this would make a cool game. And I think a lot of games that could come to fruition and that could be good ideas or the seeds of good ideas just fall by the wayside because, you know, our hobby is just so huge and so vast and so deep that you can have a game pretty much about any topic that you could think of. And you could have a good game about any topic that you could think of. I mean, look at all how many quilting games are out right now. I think there's like two or three, isn't there?
My
wife bought Quilt Show, which is pretty cool. It's by Rio Grande Games. But I haven't played Patchwork. I see people playing Patchwork like crazy.
People love Patchwork. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to play that yet, but I definitely want to try it out.
Yeah.
But so I think, I mean, I'm a man of many projects. I mean, I've tried working on games in the past a little bit. I've never done anything, I think, to the point that it's good or if it's doable. But I do think a lot of gamers think about designing their own game and have unique and cool ideas. I just think it would be cool if people talked about it more, you know? and just kind of got out there and mm-hmm. just kind of shared their ideas and stuff, because I think that's can be inspiring. So you
have done some fun projects though, because you, let's see, most recently I think you did McRibbage.
Yes, McRibbage. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was from our I can't remember what episode that was, but it was it was one of our more recent episodes where we we were playing wrong categories, and I had the word cribbage, and Chris called me out that it didn't have an M, so I said, "Oh, well, it's McCribbage."
Yeah, right. And I remember.
So I went to my father-in-law's house, and I sat there and made a cribbage board in the shape of the McDonald's sign and painted McCribbage on it. So.
Yeah, and it was great.
Fantastic. I saw that online, I think.
And you did a version of Connect Four with donuts, right?
Yes, Krispy Kreme. Connect Four edition. Connect Four, the Krispy Kreme edition.
Yeah.
I did that as a joke because we were talking about it on the show, and I was bluffing about a game that was made, and I knew Chris would take the bait on that one, so I actually just made that up, and he was like, man, I wish that existed. So all I did was print out pictures of donuts, and I put them on the checkers, and I gave it to him as a present, and he freaked out. but the thing is, he took it the next step further, and he actually sat down and figured out, like, simple rules to make that, you know, like, if you have to make a set of certain donuts when you're making a row of Connect Four, it can't just be four of the same color, you know, and things like that.
Nice.
And then I think what was your Twister game?
Oh yeah, and then I made Catan Twister.
Yes.
where I took multiple Twister mats, cut them up, and then re-put them back together in a giant Catan map.
Right. Brilliant.
And made a spinner with the resources on it, and and that's totally tongue in cheek. I mean, it's not you know, 100% serious, but
you should talk to Mayfair, man. I don't know.
I mean, I've tricked people into trying it out and playing it and stuff, but because I brought Catan Twister to BGG Con, and I brought it to Gen Con, actually, and I set it up amongst all the giant Catan maps they had there. But that's all just been tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I've definitely had ideas for legit games, I would say.
Well, so let me ask you this question, because part of what we're trying to do is to help people access this stuff, right? Game design, it was intimidating for us, which is why we wanted to start to do this. Where do we start? How do we get started? And we don't know. Well, let's just figure it out. And so one of our goals here is to try and encourage people just to go for it. So let me ask you, what's stopping you from just going for it?
being an adult is stupid. first of all, I went back to school. That's going on 4 years now. I'm near the end of my degree. But like I said before, I'm a man of many projects, and I love my wife dearly. We've been married for 18 years, and
congratulations.
And when I went back to school, thank you. When I went back to school, I promised her that I wouldn't start any new projects.
Oh, okay.
So, cause she knows me. She knows I'm kind of a guy that I'm always like, you know, I organized our local game group, you know, I'm always thinking about, you know, doing all these crazy balloon creations and stuff, with, you know, working on different clown projects, cause I'm a clown too. I'm a man of many projects. So I made her, cause she was worried I was get sidetracked and not concentrate on my studies, which is totally legit. I can understand.
Totally
that.
Fair.
So, yeah.
So she'd seen me work on projects before, like game projects in the past, and see how engrossed I can become in them. So I haven't done anything in the past 4 or 5 years because of that very reason. Even though I did promise her I wouldn't do any projects, I still have snuck a few things in there here and there. But, you know, she understands.
Sure.
You know,
okay.
I love,
you have to have
I
hobbies,
love you,
right?
Baby, if you're listening to this, by the way. Anyway.
Okay. So you're saying, you know, life gets in the way, right?
Life does get in the way. But, you know, that being said, you know, if you have a passion for something like this, or if you have a passion for pretty much anything, you have to eke out some time for it and concentrate on it and you know, do it, because you know, if you don't work on stuff, you're not a happy person, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have something right. that you really love and something that you want to share with the world, you got to share it, you got to do it, you know, and you got to, you know, do this stuff. So I think, you know, after I'm done with school here, I'll definitely, you know, dabble with that stuff, I think. Who knows, maybe I'll create a game or something, or go to Unpub next year and possibly, you know, bring something along and see what can happen.
Yeah, it's probably a shorter drive for you than it is for us.
I don't think so.
No?
Actually, I think it's longer for him, probably.
Where was it? Baltimore?
Yeah.
That's 12 out. That's about 12 hours.
Oh, is it that one?
Dude,
long?
Maine?
Yeah.
Maine's I can't even explain to you how far away Maine is. I drove there one time, and you get to New York, and you get into Maine, and you're like, I'm in Maine now. No, not even close. You aren't even close to Maine. It says you're in Maine, but it's lying, because we were going to Bar Harbor, Maine. And you know what's near Bar Harbor, Maine? Nothing. The end of the earth. The earth is flat, Rob.
Dude,
and Bar Harbor's
trees.
At the end of it. You know what, though? Bar Harbor, Maine? Go there. It's fantastic. One of our favorite vacations ever. Can't wait to go back someday. Oh, I loved it. Went through.
Next time you're up in the neighborhood, let us know, and you can come game with
us. Yeah, I definitely will. This was like 8 years ago, so I didn't even know you yet, or didn't even have a podcast, and wasn't even designing games. But, you know, I think another good point to make with what you're saying is there's going to be different chapters in your life when you've got more and less times to work on things. And you need to learn to prioritize based on those chapters in your life. I mean, I myself am a man of many projects. Rob can attest to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even think to list all the projects I'm a part of right now. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I let myself do that because I know that aligning yourself with either the right people to make sure those things get done. Like, for instance, this project, this podcast we do, if it wasn't for Rob, I wouldn't do it, because Rob edits the shows. And I had to edit the shows a couple times, and it sucked. So,
oh, yeah.
But Rob likes editing the shows and is good at it. So awesome. So he does that, you know, where I work on some film projects and, you know, I do those and my friend Troy does all the editing on that, because he's way better than I am and he likes it way better than I do. So I don't have as much time spent on that. And, you know, the other thing, the game design stuff, and I do some writing and things like that. And I do all those, on my own schedule, right? Cause they're for me. So, you know, and I don't sleep much, and that is one of the easiest thing to sacrifice, I would say, is sleep.
Cause
I also have a couple kids, which you could basically trade kids for school, because those are both super time intensive. So yeah, luckily for me, I don't ever want to go back to school. So because I was not a fan of it. But no, I mean, being a person of many projects requires a certain kind of focus. Otherwise you never do anything, right? You have to do a lot of things. And that is the fear of that, is to not finish things. And I think as long as you can see it through, sometimes those multiple projects help. There was a time a couple years back when I was kind of getting, maybe a year or so ago, I was getting really burned out on game design. So I started focusing more on writing things. And I did that for a while until I was ready to get back into game design, and I started designing more games again. Because sometimes we need a break even from things that we love, you know, like hobbies and children and wives. I'm just kidding about the last two. That was a joke. They don't listen to this podcast. My son does, but only to hear the theme song. After that, he really doesn't care. So, though, you know how, like, you know how you have, like, well, you'll say things on a show, and I'm sure you experienced this too, Flip, and you're like, does this person listen to that show? Like, I made a joke. Does this person listen to that show? I was sitting down here getting the show ready to post a couple weeks ago, and my son was sitting over at the table where we record, playing with some Legos, which actually Rob and I have been dinking around with the whole time we've been sitting here, because there's Legos in front of us. I realized as the show is playing that we're talking about my son. I'm telling a story about my son. And he looks over, and I can see him listening, like, they're talking about me. And it was interesting, because it was like sitting in that room with that person, right, who you might have talked about on the podcast. You wonder if they're listening, and they're sitting next to you listening. So anyways, sorry, that was a digression there, but...
No, that's cool. I mean, yeah, I just lost my train of thought. Anyway.
Happens to me all the time.
All the time.
It's less of a train and more of a swerving car.
Well, so Yeah. So we haven't gotten to any solid answers on this topic, but I think what we're talking about here is that like you said, every gamer has a great game inside them, and you know, the important thing that I'm hearing is that you have that passion. Different people handle that passion and let that passion out in different ways. And that's great. Right.
Yeah. And it's like, well, like one of my own personal mottos is kind of, give yourself that extra little push. Like, cause anything you want to do, it's like, you know, anything you want to do in life, it's either A, scary, or it's B, it takes effort, you know? Like when I wanted to start a group for clowns in my local area to get together and exchange ideas and do skills and, you know, and learn. Basically, I realized there was nothing in this area for that. So I started an actual clown group in our area, you know, and I went and did adult education classes in clowning and got people involved and stuff like that. And same thing with our local gaming group. You know, my wife, Deb, and I, and our good friend, Roger, we decided to start a gaming group. And all it takes is like, everybody sits around and thinks, oh, this would be cool to do. But, you know, you got to give yourself the extra little push to actually go into action. Yep. It's the same thing with game design, I think. I think a lot of people think, you know, it would be really cool if there was a game about A, B, or C, but if it's just a thought and it doesn't go any further, then nothing's going to happen. So, and that's the cool thing I've liked about, you know, watching you guys' journey, I don't know if that's proper, but whatever.
Good enough.
But your journey is like, you know, you guys, you know, with the pitch and everything, you talk about different ideas and you can see how things just slowly snowballing and taking on life. And you're just giving yourself that little push to get going and to, you know, to get the ball rolling. And you know, sometimes things don't work out, but sometimes things work out fantastically. So, mm-hmm. you know, but, yeah. Yeah, and I've had projects that I've worked on in the past that have fallen down flat and I've invested stupid amounts of time in, but I don't regret it, you know, because I have, like, battle wounds and I have, you know, I'm educated about that stuff. Like, I spent a lot of time, like, notebooks, trying to work on a Transformers card game. And they're all gathering dust in a closet in binders upstairs, and I don't regret it, you know, even though it went nowhere. But it was a labor of love, and I learned from it. So
that's good. Yeah.
I think that was like the very first big game I tried to work on and figure out. But that game that also taught me this ain't easy. You know, this is really hard trying to figure this out and balance this out and make it good.
Yeah. Well, I think you start working on a game like that, especially when you realize it's, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, there's more than meets the eye, you know? Come on. Come on.
Who let this guy in here?
All right. That's probably, I think you just killed the podcast, Jason.
I could have.
I think you just killed it. Yeah. So Flip, I can't imagine anybody who listens to our show that is not already familiar with Flip the Table, but would you give us the rundown, the synopsis of what you guys do?
Well, okay. Well, Flip the Table was started by my good friend, Chris Michaud. And he is the, first of all, he is the blood, guts, spine, sweat, and everything of that show. It is 100% his baby. I mean, he edits it. He's put it together. It was his brainchild. And I'm just one of the idiots that shows up and talks into a microphone for him. So, I mean, but what we do is we do the other side of board game. There's tons of podcasts out there that do like the new hotness, you know, like, you know, the ones that are focused on heavy games, one are focused on party games, one are focused on, you know, a documentary podcast about game design. We decided to go with the underbelly, the crap of the game industry, like all the commercial cash-ins, all just the total stuff that no self-respecting gamer wants to play. And so we play, you know, stuff like RoboCop, the VCR game, Heartthrob, the teenage slumber party game,
fantastic game.
Stuff. Yeah, you know what? That I want to redesign that game for modern day, and I've had some great ideas for it. But yeah, that's a project later down the road. But yeah, we play all the crappy games, and then we talk about them. But the really cool thing about that is we've found some real gems in there, stuff that you never expect. And it's been very interesting. It's been an interesting journey doing that show. Mm-hmm. Flip the table, tableflipsu.com. Yeah.
It's one of the best podcasts you can listen to.
Jason and I can say absolutely it is. We are huge fans. It's one of the highlights. Whenever I see that my iTunes is updated again with a new episode, I am so happy. I'm so happy every time.
Well, thank you. I mean, Chris works really hard on, you know, as far as like putting the podcast together and deciding, you know, what to play and how it all goes together. And his editing skills are really good. And he's very talented. He's a very talented guy. So, you know, it's definitely thanks to him. And of course, Jared, Professor Barger, and I, we all do our share to try to make it a good show as well. But, we have a lot of fun with it and, really enjoy it. And like I said, I enjoy listening to you guys too. And you know, there's so many podcasts though. It's like it's like a part-time job just trying to catch up with them all.
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's rough. I keep wanting to try new ones, and I don't have room to fit them into my regular schedule every week.
Well, we both have jobs where it's hard to listen to them now. It used to be easier. Now it's not anymore. So
There's
certain podcasts that are like 3 and 4 hours long, and it's like I used to listen to those when I had a job there where I was like alone, not talking to anybody else, and I could listen to it. I just don't anymore. I kind of have to, I basically listen to them in the car all the time when I'm driving around and stuff. So,
yeah. And then if somebody out there in the world wants to know more about you, about your projects, about your clowning, about your masterful skills with balloons, how can somebody find you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Flip Flory on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, at Game Night on Twitter, and that's Night with a K.
Yep.
You can email me, I guess, at floryflip@gmail.com. And actually, I just bought the URL of flipflory.com, so who knows what's going to come up there sometime.
Yes, so. Unlimited possibilities.
Likely the best website ever.
It's just going to be, I don't know what, reviews on different types of pudding cups or something like that. I don't know.
I might read that.
If you wrote it, I probably would.
Cool. So any final thoughts, any final words for the builders out there?
I mean, like I said before, you know, just, take inspiration from this show, you know, like, work on that project. Don't be afraid to get out there and show your baby to the world, and realize that not everything's going to work out. If you don't take that one step to try to work on a project and get something out there, you're going to regret it. So, you know, take inspiration from these two idiots and this idiot here to start whacking away at that big chunk of marble and see if there's something underneath, try to chisel out that statue of David, that's laying underneath. But, just do it.
It's good advice.
Right on.
So.
Cool. Well, I'll wrap this up here. Ladies and gentlemen, builders out there, thank you so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it so much. We wouldn't be doing it without you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastBTG. Jason is @JASlingerland. I am @poorly_designed. And Flip is @GameNight, and that's Knight with a K. If you want to send us an email, you can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. Might have already said that. I sometimes mix this up. Call our Google voice number and leave us a message at 770-TEL-BTG. Our website is buildinggamepodcast.com. Do the Facebook likes and the reviews on the podcast places and things. And we'll come on back next week and do this again. Sadly, Flip will probably not be with us again next week, but maybe we'll have him back soon.
Flip, I'll be listening.
All right, Flip. Again, thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on, guys. It's been a blast.
All right. Yeah, and good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Can you give me a few sentences of words so that I can check your level?
These are words. I'm sitting here. My cat is staring at me. I'm drinking a cup of coffee.
Oh, is that Box Cat?
Yeah, Box Top Cat, yeah.
Oh, I love Box Top Cat.